Hey, what's up? It's Marcus Williams, and I'm pretty excited because Anti-Flag is coming to Banff on May 2nd, playing at Wild Bill's. I had a chance to speak with Pat from Anti-Flag about politics, current events, and their music. How's it going, Pat?
Hi, Marcus. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you guys, and what have you been up to recently?
Great. We just got back from a U.S. West Coast tour, and we're taking a little bit of time off and then going right back to the West Coast of Canada. So we're excited.
Cool. Yeah, we're looking forward to you guys coming to Banff. Now, with American Spring coming out, what kind of current events and ideas went into this album? Because so many things have been happening recently, like Black Lives Matter movements, gay marriage and the LGBTQ community movements, election after election after election, and the Syrian war and the refugee crisis there. How did that kind of play a role in this album here?
Absolutely. The record's called American Spring because it is a reference to the Arab Spring, which was the precursor to the Syrian civil war, with a lot of other uprisings in the Middle East. And it's very interesting to see how we went from intellectuals and artists and activists who were trying to have freedom and justice and trying to have a better way of life and has deteriorated by thugs and murderers and religious extremists into civil war and violence. And it's just a really sad situation that those poor people in Syria and many places in the Middle East have to live with day to day. But having said that, yes, the things that are going on around the world are always interesting to us in a political sense and become part of what we create in making music.
Just because you guys do kind of use those worldly events to kind of inspire your songs, do you find that as kind of new current events happen that some of your older songs kind of take on a new relevance?
It's unfortunate, but yes, we have actually a couple police brutality songs that we had written, and there was specifically in Pittsburgh, there was a gentleman named Johnny Gamage who was killed by the police in the late 90s. And yeah, these things cycle around and happen again and again, and it makes you realize that the dates change and the people affected by it directly change, but the problems are still there and they're systemic in the American culture. And to take that one step further, one of the very interesting things for us was a few years ago we went into the Woody Guthrie archive because we were going to take Woody Guthrie lyrics and put it to new music. And when going through there, we looked at the songs that Woody Guthrie was writing about immigration and how people were being blocked from being able to find work in different places. But rather than people from Mexico coming into the U.S. or U.S. people going into Canada or Canadians coming to the U.S. and being told that they can't come because of labor regulations or whatever, it was people from Oklahoma trying to go to California to find work. And so that was very interesting to me because it's not always countries. It's sometimes even within countries, but there's always people immigrating, whether it's from Syria trying to get away from the war and strife there, or Mexicans trying to get out of their economic or political situation, or Central Americans, or even Canadians trying to go, or Americans trying to go to Canada, or Canadians trying to come to the U.S. There's always people trying to move, and there's always bigoted people trying to keep those people out of what they determine as their own space. And yeah, it's happened throughout history, and it'll continue to happen. But and this is a long-winded answer, I apologize.
No, no problem.
When people talk about these issues, it demystifies it. So it's not just, oh, Mexicans are horrible people, we can't have them in the U.S., we need to build a wall, which is the most stupid thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
It was the same thing in the late 1800s when the Chinese came to the U.S. to help work on the railroad, or the Irish came to the east coast of the U.S. and became the unwanted population that was coming in. And when you realize that history of there's always been bigots trying to keep these people out, but ultimately they make a country and a culture richer and better for their labor and for their new ideas that they bring into that culture, you realize that the bigots who are fighting against immigration now are going to be on the wrong side of history in the next 20 or 30 years, just like they were in the 1920s in New York with trying to keep the Irish out, and the 1800s and with the Chinese trying to keep the Chinese people out.
Right. Right. Now, you guys have been kind of covering these sorts of topics in your music for a while. What do you guys think you found kind of like the root cause of all of this? Or
the cause is fear.
Yeah,
it's always fear. It's been fear of people taking my jobs or people taking my money or fear of different races and ethnic backgrounds. So the root cause is always fear. And what happens is people who want to amass power for themselves always use fear to control the population and gain more power. And we've seen that throughout history, and it's nothing new today with people like Donald Trump or Ted Cruz.
Right. Yeah, I like to think in Canada here we have a nice positive vibe right now despite an economic downturn.
Yeah, Trudeau seems like he's an all right guy. We had euphoria in the U.S. when Obama got elected and thought things were going to change, and we've been subsequently disappointed at the speed of change. But and I'm sure in Canada you will suffer the same fate. However, I am proud to see a prime minister going to a gay pride rally in Toronto, and that to me says that things are moving in the right direction.
Hopefully, you guys can say the same thing in a few months when you have your election.
yes.
Fingers crossed.
I think it might go worse. I think that everybody underestimates the power of Donald Trump and the fear that he can instill in people, and so I'm worried about that.
Yeah, I've been reading a little bit into that if Clinton and Trump, then people think Trump will win. If it's Bernie and Trump, then people are going to think Trump is going to win because they just don't think the American people are ready for Bernie, someone so social at this point.
Yeah, well, that's the unfortunate thing about the American population is they haven't been educated on economic policies that really work. They only are exposed to things that cause them fear and anxiety, and that people are going to take their jobs, and that's unfortunate. And we, as a culture of education and media telling the real story, America is failing on so many levels.
Right. Back to your music here for for a bit. You guys have done a really good job of sticking to your roots over the years. Have you guys felt any pressure from labels or individuals to, you know, kind of stray from what you guys are doing and play the quote-unquote popular genre or whatever?
We've been very lucky to not have to pay attention to any of those voices. We have, which to our credit, we have created our own way of creating the music. We have our own record company to get that music out. We have our own infrastructure to talk to the people that we want to talk to. So we haven't had nobody has ever come to us and said, you know what, you're going to have to work at the 7-Eleven unless you play this song or something like that. So we've always been able to feel comfortable making the decisions that allow us to do what we love and do what makes sense to us. We would not be effective as a band trying to play pop songs. We are interested in activism and politics, and that's the kind of music that we create.
Right. And how has your kind of sound grown and your songwriting skills kind of developed over the years with that?
Well, and that is definitely true. We have definitely gotten better at songwriting and understanding how to make music. So, and gotten better at our actual instruments. So you are correct that the tone of the band has been consistent over the years, but I do believe the songwriting and the actual performances, instrument performances, have gotten better and has allowed us to write better songs. It's interesting because when we were young, I felt like what we were trying to achieve and what actually was on the record were very far from apart from each other musically. And I think as we've gotten older and played more shows and just gotten better, we are getting closer to what we're trying to achieve and what actually comes out as the end result. We're not actually there. It's not parody, but it is. But we're getting closer to what we're trying to achieve.
Right, right.
If that makes any sense.
No, totally, totally. Just for people who maybe have been to, like, you know, maybe a few shows, but they've never been to an anti-flag show, when you come in to play in Banff, what can people expect?
Well, first of all, it is a pretty aggressive rock show. It's pretty intense. When we come to a rock show that isn't an anti-flag show, what anti-flag brings to a performance is the anger and the frustration and the passion that we've had since we were a young band, but also the camaraderie that you don't get at a lot of other shows. We are firm believers that that we come to play music to talk to people who are like-minded and believe that activism can change the world, and we believe that organizing can change the world. So in that sense, the show becomes a celebration of people who believe that things can be better than they are right now. And that doesn't mean that it's absolutely going to happen, but at least we can be in a room and be inspired by each other to continue the fight to make change in this world.
Right. And how does playing in an intimate environment like Wild Bill's in Banff affect your performance?
It will change it slightly, only in the fact that the conversation is closer. It's we just played in Mexico City to 10,000 people, so that it's a different, slightly different experience, because to talk to those people, they're further away. But what I really am passionate about is when it is a small room and people are right there in front of us, and you can connect with them in a real way, and that for me, because we grew up playing basements and playing small halls, and that where that separation wasn't really there between band and audience. So that is the kind of show that makes me passionate and makes me really want to be there. Also, if the show goes well, maybe we'll take the drums into the crowd at the end of the show and see if that'll see if I can get that down in front and see if I can connect with people in that way too.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a tight room, hopefully, and the people who are there are going to be the people who really care, and that is always makes for the best shows.
Awesome. Well, that's all I got for you today, Pat. Hope you guys have a good rest of the tour, and we'll see you guys in Banff.
Yep, and we're going to be playing with Lee Corey Oswald there as well, so I don't know whether you have that information, but now you do.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Rockin' show.
Awesome. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too. Have a good night.
You too.